Chrome and Windows 7 zero days are being actively exploited. The NSA releases GIDRA into the wild for free, and Democrats want to restore net neutrality. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morrison. This is ThreatWire from March 12, 2019, your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. I am well aware that the studio looks really weird today. There's nothing I can really do to fix that, but hopefully this won't be a problem in the future. Now, real quick, I would also like to give a special shout out to my newest Patreon supporters this week, including Didier, Patrick, Hangdog, Tom, E. Euler, Albert, Timmy Doomsday, Tracy, Michael, and Carl. And I would also like to say thank you to everyone who signed up on Patreon last month. Because of you, we were able to donate a total of $130 to WISP, which is Women in Security and Privacy. And since that campaign got so much love, I would like to do it again. So what InfoSec or hacker charity would you like to see ThreatWire support? Let me know down in the comments below. And if you are interested in supporting ThreatWire, hit at patreon.com/ThreatWire. And now onto the news. Google announced that Chrome had a zero day that was under active attack, and a patch was released last week. The exploit was discovered by Clement Lessine of Google's Threat Analysis Group and labeled CVE-2019-5786. It's a security flaw that affects the newest version of Chrome, which is version 72.0.3626.121, which was available on March 1st. The problem occurred due to a memory management error in the File Reader Web API, which is required to be able to read file contents from a computer. These use after free type of vulnerabilities take advantage of memory that has been freed or deleted from Chrome's allocated memory. Now, this could allow an attacker to escape the Chrome security sandbox and actually interact with the operating system. To make this worse, Google announced the very next day that the exploit was being used in tandem with a security issue in Windows 7, which is another zero day. The Windows 7 zero day would allow an attacker to run malicious code on the operating system as well. This one is described in Google's blog post as a privilege escalation attack in a kernel driver on Windows 7. So what can you do as a user? Well, of course, you can update immediately through Chrome's sandwich menu, where notifications should appear if an update is available. Also, set up automatic updates if you have not already turned those on. And if you are still running Windows 7, consider upgrading to Windows 10 and applying those automatic updates, or just use Linux. Last week at RSA, several amazing talks were presented, but one stood out by the National Security Agency on Tuesday. Rob Joyce, the NSA's senior cybersecurity advisor, announced the release of GIDRA, which can be used to decompile, reverse engineer, and analyze malware. And InfoSec Twitter had a ball last week getting their hands on it and having fun testing it out. Now, GIDRA was a previously classified software reverse engineering app and suite of tools that was developed by the NSA's Research Directorate, and NSA releasing it to the world for free is kinda a big deal. The tool was first revealed to exist by WikiLeaks way back in 2017 when the site slowly published multiple CIA documents. A few weeks ago, the NSA stated that GIDRA would be released. Now, while other tools are currently available to malware analysis experts, they generally cost quite a bit of money. One of them is free, but others range between $149 all the way up to $3,500. IDA Pro, which is IDA Pro, is probably its biggest competition, but this tool is expensive and it requires commercial licenses, sometimes demanding personal information from InfoSec professionals requesting said licenses. Now, it's no surprise that GIDRA has been a tool that many in the industry have been waiting for with bated breath. GIDRA is free and it is open source, it's written in Java, and it's now available to anyone who wants to try it out at the NSA's GIDRA website, which is gidra-sre.org, or the NSA's GitHub page. Yes, the NSA does have a GitHub page. It works on Windows, Mac, and Linux, and the tool itself is fine-tuned for analysts. It has many features that are useful, such as a user interface that can be customized, template options, it even has a dark mode, there's plugins and project collaboration for teams. It works with multiple binaries, and according to Joyce, its processor modules include x86 architectures, ARM, Z80, and a whole lot more. It is missing a debugger though, which IDA Pro does have, but a community effort may happen to release this feature as well in the future. Now, all you have to do is unzip a zip archive and make sure that you have Java Development Kit 11 or higher installed. Since it runs with such minimal requirements, you don't need admin privileges to use it, nor will it need to change anything in the registry. To uninstall it, simply delete the Ghidra installation directory. That's it. Now, obviously, the NSA has a motive for releasing it. They hope that security researchers will use it, then apply for jobs at the NSA. They even had a We Are Hiring booth at the trade show, and the tool includes an installation guide, classes, and exercises for all levels. Now, for folks who are looking to get into the industry of malware analysis, this is quite the game changer. It will allow for education and more knowledge on the subject, and will hopefully spur more interested parties to consider this as a career and allow for a more inclusive career choice for up-and-comers. Now, of course, there are a few negatives as well. Releasing the tool means that anyone can use it, not just folks who want to work at the NSA, and it's also an NSA tool, though according to Joyce, there is no back door, and I quote, "Scout's honor." Chosen by the ThreatWire Patreon community this week is the next top story, all about a US bill that could fully restore net neutrality. So what is this thing? Well, it is a three-page bill that was introduced by the House and Senate Democrats last Wednesday that could restore the FCC's previous net neutrality rules, which were called the Open Internet Order, which were in place way back in 2015. The bill is called the Save the Internet Act, and it would restore the FCC's authority over ISPs while prohibiting throttling or blocking of websites or services by said ISPs. And ISPs would also need to be transparent about connection speeds and costs for consumers. This bill would put net neutrality into law. Now, as mentioned before on the show, ISPs have been found blocking competitors or blocking apps to force consumers to pay more, as well as throttling specific types of data. Many markets continue to be a monopoly, especially in rural towns, so consumer choice is limited. And if you want to find out more about that, Google it. But this bill would still need to pass the Republican-held Senate and the president's seat, of which both have been against net neutrality in previous talks. There's also an ongoing lawsuit against the FCC due to their net neutrality repeal, but also due to their redefining of broadband back to an information service instead of telecommunications. Now, while this bill's future is kind of uncertain, the lawsuit would be considered a fallback. The full bill link is included in the show notes below if you want to read it for yourself. I want to say thank you so much to my Patreon supporters. If you are interested in getting access to a slew of extras and perks, even if it's just $1 or $2 a month, hit the button to become a Patreon supporter because it all helps and it shows me that you appreciate the work that I'm putting in for the show. Also, a big thanks to our Hush Puppy perk level patrons for sending in their fur baby photos. I love them. Keep them coming. We got new ones this week. They're so cute. They're so adorable. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe. And with that, I'm Shannon Morris, and I will see you on the internet. Yeah.